Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the evidences of the divine inspiration of the Bible is the impartial way the Scripture portrays the lives of characters, even the biblical heroes. There is a record of the vices as well as the virtues, the successes as well as the failures. The characteristic of uninspired writers is to write with a distinct and noticeable bias, either in favor of the one they admire, or in disfavor of those whom they may not like. But the Holy Spirit chose to reveal certain things about people, both pleasing and displeasing to God. And when He did, He, as we sometimes say, simply told it like it was. Samson is considered a biblical hero. From the days of his youth, children who are brought up in homes where God and His Word are respected are taught the story of Samson. He was one of the judges of Israel. The record of some 15 different judges is given to us in the books of Judges and 1 Samuel, even though the account of some of them is very brief. But Samson filled a difficult role in a difficult time for Israel, and his work was unique among the judges. He was a power and a strength for Israel, God's people, in a period of history that was noted for its faithlessness and fear. Israel had so many ups and downs during their history, especially during the judges' period. The record of the judges goes through cycles and repetitions of conditions depending upon the way the people at a given time reacted toward God. Samson was a leader during a time when the Philistines were harassing and overpowering the Israelites. And we must mention that God allowed the enemies of Israel to persecute them when the Israelites would apostatize from God. This was God's way of bringing them to repentance and into His favor once again. Samson was a hero in a number of encounters and conflicts with the disturbers of his people. He is known most for his great physical strength that he used against Israel's enemies. He was literally a one-man army. Whereas other judges had used few men at times, like Gideon and his 300 men, and others used larger armies by which to bring deliverance to Israel, Samson seemed to have relied on his own freewheeling style and individual efforts without the aid of others. But in spite of his great physical strength, he was guilty of many sins. He became a victim of his own transgressions. He proved that sin can be the undoing, even of notable characters. It is only that theme upon which we wish to concentrate in this lesson, because his sins are like the sins of so many of us, living many centuries after Samson. Look at Samson's background, his home, and his family. His parents are mentioned at various times in the record, and there are indications that he had a reasonably good home. The marriage of his parents was one of cooperation in the rearing of their son. Any home ought to be that way. It is unfortunate that such is not the case in every home. One of the gravest problems facing our nation is that of marital strife and turmoil. The breaking up of marriages and homes and the disastrous influences and results that come from it are immeasurable. The lack of fidelity, the disunion, the instability, the dissolution of what God intended to remain solid is bringing dire consequences upon the land. Everywhere one reads and hears, experts really do not care for the teaching of God. They are even being forced to realize that the failure of homes is one of the major causes of crime and havoc, mental agony, abuse, and injury in the land. Homes are truly blessed when parents are united and cooperate. And Samson's parents were a prayerful people. They believed in God. They knew the value of prayer unto God. Upon learning that they would become parents, they prayed, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that is born. Friend, we need to get the full import and impact of that prayer. How wonderful it would be if every father and mother would pray a similar prayer on the behalf of their efforts in rearing their children. Parents ought to pray fervently and regularly for their children. We need God's help, and God has provided us guidance. Too many just do not give God much heed. The devil has a hard job of disrupting children whose parents are concerned about bringing that child up in God's fashion. There is a poem that should cause parents, especially fathers, to closely examine themselves regarding the impressions that they make on their children. When father prays, he doesn't use the words the preacher does. There's different things for different days, but mostly it's for us. I can't remember all of it. I'm little yet, you see. But one thing I cannot forget. My father prays for me. Does your child ever hear you pray? Do you ever pray for them? With the popular and worthy cliche around us, have you hugged your child today? We might think of one that asks, have you prayed with or for your child today? Manoah and his wife wanted Samson to be reared according to the will of God. Judges 13 and verse 12, how shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? Parents are taught, of course. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Paul wrote, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. You see, Samson's parents were not content to simply let Samson grow up. They tried to do right by him. But Samson broke the hearts of his parents. In spite of their good intentions and efforts, he disappointed them. It is one thing for parents to put forth the right effort on their part, but there is a responsibility that abides with the children also to respect and to honor their parents, being obedient to them. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. In Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Some children go astray from their teaching because they bow before other influences that are contrary to their teaching. Samson seemed to have done this, and it was his own decision. Proper teaching does not guarantee faithfulness in the child unless the child gives heed to what he has been taught. And when he does, he will remain faithful, even unto his old age. And if he does not, what a tragedy and what a waste. What were the sins of Samson? Well, Samson was very self-willed and rebellious. He demonstrated disrespect for his parents and the choice of a wife. He chose a Philistine. He said, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me." That was his instruction to his parents. They wanted him to be considerate of the law that God had given Israel long ago, to take a wife from among his own nation. But he was headstrong, inconsiderate of his parents, inconsiderate of God's will, short-sighted as to the result of such a marriage, and he simply had to have his own way. Therefore, he disregarded the counsel, the advice, and the warnings of his parents. There is the thought put forth by some what Samson did with respect to warning his wife from among the Philistines that it was God's idea in order to make an opening for him to get among the Philistines. Now, there may be some truth to this, but personally I think that stretches the matter somewhat. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Like Solomon's son Rehoboam, Samson gave no heed to the wise counsel that he was given by older people. Like Saul, the first Israelite king, he was rebellious and disobedient to God. Samuel told Saul, "The rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry." 1 Samuel 15:23. But we also see that Samuel chose evil companions. Yes, he selected the Philistines, and a woman of Timnath, and later a harlot in Gaza, and eventually the deceiver Delilah. It is a sad day when God's people prefer the association of those who belong to the devil. Something is wrong with such a person. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. And we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." From Proverbs chapter 4, and also Proverbs chapter 1. Paul wrote, "Evil companions corrupt good morals," 1 Corinthians 15:33, from the American Standard Version. We become like those with whom we become involved. In the company of other apostles, Peter was ready to die for the Christ. In the company of the enemy, he warmed himself by their fire. He proved himself capable of even denying the Christ 3 times. You see, Samson courted and dared temptation, and he yielded to it. He dared the trouble by giving a riddle to guests at his wedding. He dared the trouble with repeated visits among the Philistines. He taunted regarding the source of his strength until he finally revealed his secret. Now we're taught to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," and to flee youthful lust, as well as resist the devil. Yet many are quite willing to give the devil unnecessary opportunities to mislead them. Then they wonder why they fell. When Joseph was tempted to sin, the scripture records, "He hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. He immediately put distance between himself and temptation." Now, while some temptation may not be avoided, it is folly to flirt with the possibility of sinning. It is no sin to be tempted, but it is sin to yield to temptation. And it is contrary to every resolve we ought to have to deliberately dare the devil to make us fall. Daniel resisted temptation by purposing in his heart he would not defile himself. Daniel 1:8. Vashti, when told to display herself before the eyes of a lustful and drunken company, she refused. Many have lost their virtue and forfeited their soul because they were unable to resist temptations, even temptations they could have avoided. And Samson was guilty of fornication. If we can believe what we read about our land, and believe what we hear being propagated far and wide, the nation of the United States overflows with fornicators. Samson went into a harlot, and thereby violated the commandment of God. There are so many who are damning their souls as well as destroying their bodies, their self-respect, destroying their sense of morality, and destroying the fiber of our country with similar conduct. Paul said that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5:19. And John adds that they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, Revelation 21:8. Samson was disloyal to his vow, the Nazarite vow, which required that he drink no fruit of the vine, allow no razor to his head, nor have contact with dead bodies. We have record of 2 violations, and knowing his character, why should we believe that he kept any of his vow? People who will not keep their word, who will not keep their obligations, not even to God, cannot be expected to be counted as honorable, and can only expect to fall. Christians have vowed faithfulness unto God of heaven through Christ. Unfaithfulness means our ruin. Are we better than Samson in keeping our vow? Consider what Samson's sins cost him. You know, friend, sin pays. But such wages it pays. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Or there may be pleasure in sin for a season, Hebrews 11:15. But death, spiritual death, ultimately is the recompense, James 1:15. Samson sacrificed his strength, his freedom, his sight, his self-respect, his home, his honor, his life, and worst of all, his favor before God. Was it worth it? I would like to hear the many people infected with the disease called AIDS. Tell us if they now think their fornication, their homosexuality, their degenerate conduct was worth it. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Psalm 1:5-6. We have this record about Samson so that we can learn from it. Romans 15:4. Will we give heed? Will we seek the forgiveness of our sins? And will we live loyally to God? Or will the deplorable example and regrettable story of Samson fall on deaf ears? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.